We're sure that this book in front of us tonight is your word. We're grateful for it. And now may we give our attention to it. You want to speak, Lord, to our hearts tonight, this night. I'm convinced, Lord, that you want to speak to each one of us. And so here we are, Lord, speak. We love you, and we love your word, and we want to learn how to be people that are very pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Before you go anywhere, it's a good idea to have directions to where you're going, right? I am one of those guys who needs good directions. If I don't know a certain place and how to get there, I need really good directions. I wasn't born with a good navigational system. And I know the guys are supposed to be good at that, but in my family, it's Kim, the wife. She shows me how to get from point A to point B. Maps help, but I've even been known to get lost with maps. You know, I've had terrible times with maps trying to find my direction to certain places. To me, what works best is to have someone lead. You know, to have someone say, hey, I know exactly where we're going, Terry. Why don't you just follow me? We'll go. I love that, don't you? Then you can just turn it off and, you know, jam out on your CDs and hang out and relax, and all you got to do is keep your eye on that bumper. Follow that car. Well, that's exactly how it was for the nation of Israel in the Old Testament, in their journey from Mount Sinai to the Promised Land. They were led supernaturally by God Himself, miraculously by the Lord. And you know, here in chapter 9 of Numbers, you got the entire nation of Israel. They're camped out at the foot of Mount Sinai. They've been there for a year. There's 2.5 million of them. 2.5 million of these people are going to have to go from point A to point B, Mount Sinai, to the Promised Land. And do you think that maybe somebody in that group thought, hey, Moses, who's the leader of the group, where are we going? What route are we going to take? Which direction? Moses didn't know. Because you're going to see, God chose to lead that nation daily, supernaturally. Check it out. Let's begin reading in chapter 9, verse 15. It says, now on the day that the tabernacle was raised up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony. From evening until morning, it was above the tabernacle like the appearance of fire. So it was always. The cloud covered it by day, and the appearance of fire by night. Now we're going back a little bit to the book of Exodus. In the book of Exodus, God gave the nation of Israel blueprints to build a tabernacle. A tabernacle is a lot like what we're in right now, a tent. The instructions were for them to build this courtyard. And then in the courtyard, there would be an altar, a burnt offering altar, then a laver for washing hands. And then further into the courtyard, you had a tent. The tent was divided into two compartments. One was called the holy place. The other was called the most holy place, the holies of holies. And they were required to build this tent, build this tabernacle. And when they finished doing so, God blessed them by showing up. God showed up in great power and glory. The very presence of God, the Bible says, came and descended upon that tent in the form of a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And so the nation of Israel, if they ever wondered where God was, all they had to do was look at the tent. Wouldn't that be great? You know, sometimes when we doubt if God's up there, if he's listening, hey, that wasn't so for the nation of Israel. All they had to do is go find the tent and see the cloud, see the pillar of fire. What an awesome thing. Well, you're going to find out tonight, yes, in the New Testament, as God's people, God doesn't show up to us like that today, does he? But you know what? He still shows up. You can see God in the lives of his people. And the Bible says when you give your heart to Christ, the Holy Spirit of God comes to live inside you. The Spirit's a fire, a cloud. So he does show up. But this is how he appeared to them in the Old Testament. Now, they're going to go on the journey. Watch how they're led. It's great. Verse 17. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, after that the children of Israel would journey. And in the place where the cloud settled, there the children of Israel would pitch their tents. At the command of the Lord, the children of Israel would journey. And at the command of the Lord, they would camp. As long as the cloud stayed above the tabernacle, they remained encamped. Even when the cloud continued long, many days above the tabernacle, the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord, and they did not journey. So it was, when the cloud was above the tabernacle a few days, according to the command of the Lord, they would remain encamped. And according to the command of the Lord, they would journey. So it was when the cloud remained only from evening until morning, when the cloud was taking up in the morning, then they would journey. Whether by day or by night, whether the cloud was taken up, they would journey. Whether it was 2 days, a month, or a year that the cloud remained above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would remain encamped and they wouldn't journey. But when it was taken up, they would journey. At the command of the Lord, they remained encamped, and at the command of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the command of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Get the idea of how God led them around? God was going to be their personal guide. God was going to direct them daily. And the system's pretty clear, pretty simple to understand. When the cloud stopped and rested on the tabernacle, what were they supposed to do? They were supposed to stop, and they would camp. When the cloud by day, or the pillar of fire, lifted up and began to move forward, what did that mean? Move forward. Time to go. It's a pretty simple guidance system. And it didn't matter how long the cloud remained there. It could be there a night. It could be there 2 days. It could be there 3 months. It could be there for a year. As long as the cloud's there, you remained. And then it also didn't matter when the pillar of fire or the cloud took off. Whenever it took off, then you went. And if you caught it in the passage, sometimes the pillar of fire might decide to get up and go right in the middle of the night. And guess what? You're up in the middle of the night packing and you're going. Cloud by day, fire by night, God leading his people in this supernatural, awesome, miraculous way. How many of you would like God to lead you like that right now? Wouldn't that be kind of cool? Can you imagine? All these cars with Christian bumper stickers following clouds down the highways. Fires. It would be neat. But we also know that God doesn't lead us that way, does he? But we also know that as God's people, we are to be directed by the Lord today. Even as the people of Israel in the Old Testament were to be directed, it is important that we allow our lives to be directed by God. To find out his direction for our life and follow. It's a great concept, Terry. Easier said than done. How do you follow God? I wish there was a cloud. I wish there was a fire, maybe some of you are thinking. Listen, I believe it is absolutely possible for us to have our lives directed by the Lord today in the New Testament. And I see some principles right here from this passage. Number one, principle number one, if you want your life to be directed by God, then you must seek God daily. You must seek his face daily. Don't you think that every morning an Israelite in the Old Testament rolled out of bed, came out of their tent and looked at the tent? Is the cloud there? Don't you think that every night before they went to bed, they looked at that tent to see where God was? They would look to God daily. You and I should look to God daily. Practical ways to do that. Reading His Word daily. The Bible. Black and white, objective truth for your life. Have some kind of a consistent reading, Bible reading plan, and read the Bible daily. Pray daily. Seek the Lord's face through prayer every day. Fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ daily. Go to church daily. No, I'm kidding. Regularly. A lot. This is how we seek the Lord, my brother and sister in Christ. And you can do that. And let me tell you, if you're doing that faithfully and consistently, you're going to hear from God. You'll see some things. The other thing that you need to know, Christian, and I've already alluded to this, we don't have a fire that we follow around, but there is a fire inside each one of us. The Bible says when you ask Christ to come into your life, the Holy Spirit comes into you, your body becomes a temple of the Holy Spirit, and you and I must cultivate and maintain a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit living inside of us. You know, I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to us all day long, but all these other voices drown them out. Or we're too busy. Things are too loud around us. Too much activity. Seek the Lord's face daily and cultivate a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit who's living inside you. And then third, look at the circumstances of your life. God does lead us circumstantially. You know that? And you and I as Christians, as we walk with the Lord and as we mature, we get to a point where we're able to discern what's going on around us, discern what circumstances are from the Lord, what circumstances are not from the Lord. We will get a peace in our heart about some direction. We won't get a peace in our heart about another direction. And it is okay to look at circumstances. The problem is, many Christians I know are only looking for the leadership of God in their life through circumstances. They're kind of mystical. They see signs on everything. They see anything that you might see during the day, and they see God's hand in it, and that's leading them. And their whole life, their whole relationship with God is based on, you know, what's this sign that God's going to give me today? I believe God does lead that way. But you've got to have those first two things in place, my friend. If you're not daily seeking the Lord's face, and if you're not being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, you'll be confused by the circumstances. But if you got those basics of Christianity in place, oh, then you can see God moving and opening doors and moving you over here and moving you over there. And you're just more spiritually sensitive and open and sharp. There's a great story, great illustration of this concept. There's a certain harbor in Italy that can only be reached by sailing up this narrow channel between dangerous rocks. And over the years, many ships have been wrecked, and navigation is hazardous. To guide the ships safely into port, three lights have been mounted on three huge poles in the harbor. When the three lights are perfectly lined up and seen as one light, the ship can safely proceed up the narrow channel. Now, if the pilot sees two or three lights, he knows he's off course and in danger. That's a beautiful illustration of what we want to try to do, because God has provided three beacons to guide us. The same rules of navigation apply. The three lights must be lined up before it's safe to go and proceed. The three harbor lights of guidance for us are the Word of God. You're studying daily. The Holy Spirit, you're sensitive to Him. Circumstances, divine providence, together, lined up, they assure us that that is the direction that we need to go. We can be led by the Lord, guys. You can be led by the Lord uniquely, individually. And that's exciting. And it can be a whole lot more concrete than you think. Yeah, it may not be this fire, pillar of fire, but boy, don't you think God wants to lead His people around? Move us into the right places? We just need to be sensitive and open. The other principle about getting direction from the Lord, if you want your life to be directed by the Lord, then, and this is a must, you've got to be flexible. Don't you? I see many of you going, yeah, you got to be flexible. You have got to be flexible. I mean, what did we read here? The fire goes up at night. You got to go. Have you ever been blindsided? Has God ever said, no, I want this to change in your life right now. I'm giving you this direction right now. Boom. You didn't see it coming. It came from nowhere. But Lord, I kind of liked it the way I was. No, I want you to go this way. Whoa. You got to be flexible. You know, and the cloud would stay put many times. 3 months, a couple days, a year. You got to be flexible too when God puts you in that holding pattern. Ever been in a holding pattern? Just keep circling the airport. And you think, God, am I ever going to land? God, am I ever going to take off? Am I ever going to move? Right at those moments, you have to be flexible as well, and you have to wait upon Him and be ready to go. Now listen, that's only going to happen in your life if you're surrendered to Him. My brother and sister in Christ, I'm talking to you tonight. My brothers, my sisters. You're going to be led by God if you're flexible and totally surrendered to Him. You have to be surrendered to the Lord. Because you see, if you're totally surrendered to the Lord, then God has permission, so to speak, to interrupt your day, to interrupt your life, to interrupt your career. And if you're open, hey, I'm open. I'll do it. I'm surrendered. And you have to be surrendered in such a way that you're not holding on to anything else. I mean, you're just open to the Lord. Here I am. Use me as you see fit. I'm at your disposal, Lord. Without holding on to anything else. You can't be like, Lord, I am totally surrendered to you as long as I make $100,000 a year. It can't be, Lord, I am totally surrendered to you in America. But I'm not going near the mission field. No. Total surrender. And listen, listen. If you are surrendered to your Lord and flexible and seeking the Lord's face daily and cultivating a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, you will hear from God. And you will be led and you will be directed. And there's nothing better than that. In our backyard, I guess these trees were planted before the laws were changed. We have 5 mulberry trees in our backyard, and these things are grown to be monsters. I mean, it looks like a forest, or it used to, in our backyard. And the problem with that is that big trees like that attract birds. And we had so many birds, and birds can, well, how do you say it, be a little messy. And so we decided, and we just had all those branches cut down, all of them pruned, and it's kind of chopped down, and it looks great. Now I look up, and I see these electrical wires, and it's fascinating. The other day, I looked out there, and here's this bird perched on an electrical wire. You ever seen that and wonder, why don't they get shocked? But there they are. I mean, it could be the biggest, thickest, you know, these things are conducting electricity. There's damage. But there the bird just sits and sings. And it's dangerous. We insulate them. We make sure they're connected very well at the poles. We keep them out of reach. Why is that bird able to just sit on that wire? Well, as it turns out, it's because that's the only thing the bird's touching. You see, if you were to reach up and touch that wire, and you're sitting on the ground, standing on the ground, and you're able to reach up and touch, electricity will go through you to the ground. Even if you're in a tree and connected to the ground via the tree and you hold on to that electrical wire, what happens? You become a conductor. And it's not pretty. But the bird, there they are, just perched on the wire. Safe. And I think that's a very beautiful, beautiful picture in our lives of what surrender is. Put all your weight on God. And don't be holding on to anything else. Especially the ground, things of this earth that are passing away. Surrendered to Him. You will hear from the Lord. And it'll be a beautiful adventure for you. You know, these Israelites also had to do this corporately, didn't they? I mean, think about it. The cloud goes up. There they go. 2.5 million. And I think that speaks to us as a church. Corporately, we need to be flexible and surrendered to the Lord as well, don't we? We need to be ready to move when the Lord wants us to go. And we need to be ready to mobilize when the Lord calls us as a church to something. Very important. And I'll tell you, you've probably noticed a few different things going on around the church. Martin and I have just been working really hard to add structure and policies even into place here at the church. And it's something that we have to do as a church as we grow. We do have to put structure in place. And you know what? It's a necessity. But structure should never take the place of dependence upon the Holy Spirit, right? We need to always be flexible to what the Holy Spirit is doing in and wants to do through our lives. And so we're building structures. We're trying to put certain order and things to certain ministries. But, you know, those structures need to be built with rubber beams, things that can bend, that ebb and flow. So we can change quickly as the Holy Spirit leads us. It's important to plan as much as you can, but you know, you also need to pray and ask the Lord to lead. But I'll tell you what, those Israelites, they had to be flexible. They got guided by the Holy Spirit. We can too, individually and as a church. Beautiful, beautiful picture. Well, the camp is about to go. They've got two more items that they need to build first. Chapter 10 says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, make two silver trumpets for yourself. You shall make them of hammered work. You shall use them for calling the congregation and for directing the movement of the camps." Now, this is interesting. God tells Moses, two silver trumpets. That's all that's needed. And these trumpets are going to be used as signals to the camp. God isn't putting an orchestra together or anything. These two trumpets will have, the only purpose they'll have is to, when they're blown, serve as signals to things that the camp is supposed to do, what the Israelites are supposed to do. Look what they're going to be required to do. Verse 3. "When they blow both of them, all the congregation shall gather before you at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. If they blow only one, then the leaders of the heads of the divisions of Israel shall gather to you. When you sound the advance, the camps that lie on the east side shall then begin their journey. When you sound the advance the second time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall begin their journey. They shall sound the call for them to begin their journeys. And when the assembly is to be gathered together, you shall blow, but not sound the advance." You get the picture here? If Moses wanted them to have an assembly, they'd pull out those two trumpets and they'd blow it in a specific way, and that'd be a signal to everyone in the camp. Okay, assembly, rally. Everybody shows up to the tent of meeting. If they only blow one in a certain way, then that means all the people don't have to show up, just the leaders. If they blew the trumpets in one way and then followed it with an advance, that meant, hey, we're going. Troops on the east side, let's go. South side, let's go. Verse 8, the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow the trumpets. And these shall be to you as an ordinance forever throughout your generations. When you go to war in your land against the enemy who oppresses you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets. And you will be remembered before the Lord your God, and you will be saved from your enemies. Another purpose for the trumpet blast, it was an alarm. If there was an enemy army coming in to attack them, hey, they got the trumpet out and blew it in a certain way, and everyone knew, look out, let's get ready for battle. Verse 10, also in the day of your gladness, in your appointed feasts, and at the beginning of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings. And they shall be a memorial for you before your God. I am the Lord your God. At special occasions, celebration, feasts, first day of the month, they'd pull out those two silver trumpets again and they'd blow another tune. Celebration. Pretty neat. These trumpets were used to signal things to the people of God. Assembly, call to war, celebration, advance. And it's an important detail here, and I think it's applicable to us tonight. The spiritual leaders of Israel blew the trumpets. That meant that it was the spiritual leaders of Israel that had to be those who were discerning the will of the Lord for the camp, and when they got what they knew was to be the will of the Lord, they'd take out those trumpets and blow them to signal to the camp. And you know, those priests, they were right there at the tent of meeting. When they start to see that cloud to go up, they would be the first to know, oh, time to pack up. They'd pull out the trumpets, sound the advance, start the process. The priests, they're right there in the presence of the Lord. The Lord might say, hey, we need to call an assembly. They'd get word from the Lord and then they'd blow the trumpets to signal the troops, to signal the people. Spiritual leaders should do that. Spiritual leaders should be hearing from the Lord and then blowing the trumpet to signal people. As a pastor of this church, my job is to discern and seek the Lord and see where the Lord might want us to go. And guys, as I hear from the Lord, as I think, and sometimes I know, but I'll tell you the truth, sometimes I don't know. But if I think I've heard from the Lord in a certain area, I will. I'll pick up the trumpet and I'll blow it. And it'll be a signal to this body. We do it a lot, actually, now. A couple of years ago, we started the process which would eventually lead us to here in a tent. At that time, we had a lease that was about to go up on us, and I just knew in my heart, that the Lord didn't want me to sign another 3-year lease at that property. And so I thought about it, and I prayed about it, and I was thinking, how would we go through it? And I know God told me very, very clearly, you need to get the people of God together. You need to blow the trumpet. And I did, and we had our first, what we call a state of the flock meeting. And it was an awesome, awesome meeting, and we're going to have them annually, where we share what the Lord's done with the church in the previous year and the vision that he wants to do. And it was at that point where I sounded the trumpet and the process began. And then as it came time for us to get kicked out of the old property and we still hadn't found land, then we found this place. And again, I brought that before the Lord and before the congregation, and I blew the trumpet. And you know what? I've blown the trumpet recently even as well. And you know what, guys? I'm so grateful for this body that they have responded. It's beautiful. As God leads me in a direction, gives me a vision for this church, and I blow that trumpet and it gathers the people of God. It's beautiful. There have been other times where there's something that's going on in our community and I want to go against it as a church. I blow the trumpet and say, hey, let's get on this. As a pastor, there have been times in my life where I've counseled with one of you, talked to one of you about maybe a problem that you've had. And God has given me counsel from the Word of God, and it's like blowing a trumpet. And it's an alarm. It's a warning. A good spiritual leader will do that. Those of you who are in charge of ministries at this fellowship, you need to be discerning from the Lord as well for your ministry, and you can't be afraid to take out that trumpet and blow. Sound the alarm. Sound in advance. Let me get even more practical this evening. Dads, fathers, the Bible says that you are the head of your home, the spiritual leader of your home. That's quite a calling. As dad, as father, I think what you need to do is also be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, leading your family, asking for the direction of God. And when God gives you the direction, blow the trumpet. Get the family moving in the right direction. But let it be you. You're the spiritual leader of the home. You're the head of the home. Don't just sit back and let other people do it. You're the man that God has called to be in charge of your family. Blow those trumpets. You know, it's kind of sad. Every now and then, have you ever met a family where the mom and dad aren't in charge? The kids are. You ever met that family? Mom and dad are not in charge. The kids are. You know, I've even met families where they won't come to church on Sunday morning because little Johnny needs to sleep in. What are you talking about? Have fun blowing the horn. Wake little Johnny up. Get him up and direct him and get him to church. Come on, Dad. Come on, Mom. Who's in charge? You know, Kim and I blow the trumpet all day long at our house. Of course, the kids are 5, 4, and 3, but boy, we're blowing horns all day long. Christian parent, hear from the Lord. Hear from the Lord for your family. And lead them. Extremely, extremely important. Well, they get their trumpets and now it's time to move. Verse 11. Now it came to pass on the 20th day of the second month, in the second year, that the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle of the testimony. And the children of Israel set out from the wilderness of Sinai on their journeys. Then the cloud settled down in the wilderness of Paran. So they started out for the first time according to the command of the Lord by the hand of Moses. So here, for the first time, the cloud lifts and the cloud begins to drift forward. And after 1 year camped at Mount Sinai, it's time to go. It's time to pack up. And you know, don't you think they were charged? Don't you think that was an exciting day? We're going to the promised land, guys. The clouds lifted. We've had a year of preparation. Weehaw, let's go. I'm sure they were so excited and they were so thrilled. And there was this special quality to that day, as they're going to follow God now to the promised land. But of course, those of us who know the story know that we have a sad couple of chapters coming, don't we? Does this generation make it to the promised land? They do not. Even though they've been prepared, they do not. We're going to read about them complaining soon. We're going to read about them finding out that there's giants in the promised land. And the giants are scary, and they don't want to go in and see the giants. And so they will walk around in the wilderness for 40 years until the next generation goes in. It's sad. But you know what? I think they misjudged something. Hey, it's going to be hard. The journey will be hard. And you know what? No matter how prepared you are, there are certain things that you'll face in this life that will be hard. And let me tell you this right now, no matter how spiritually prepared you are, spiritual preparation does not guarantee success. Only faith does. They were prepared and they were ready, but when they saw those giants, they lost their faith. That's why they failed. And you and I should be as prepared as we can be, disciplining ourselves, studying the scripture. But I guarantee you, there are moments of truth that come in everybody's life, my friend. And no matter how prepared you are, at that moment when you face that moment of truth, at that moment you have to hang on to the Lord and go through that door by faith. Fight through it. I was talking to a brother of ours the other day and just got out of boot camp. You know, they have a big party when they finish boot camp. It's a big celebration to get out of boot camp. But the problem is that many times think that after they get out of boot camp, well, it's easy sailing. No, it's the battle now. It's the battle. And we must always walk by faith. Well, the excitement is there. They're going. Now, we've studied before exactly how they're supposed to march, how they're supposed to proceed on their journey. Remember, God gave them an exact tribal march. Well, let's see if they obey it. Verse 14, the standard of the camp of the children of Judah set out first according to their armies. Over the army was Nashon, the son of Amminadab. Then came Issachar. Then came Zebulun in verse 16. Then the tabernacle was taken down. The sons of Gershon and the sons of Merari set out carrying the tabernacle. The standard of the camp of Reuben went next. Verse 19, Simeon. Verse 20, Gad. Then the Kohathites set out carrying the holy things. Verse 22 tells us that Ephraim went next. Manasseh, the tribe of Benjamin. Verse 24. Verse 25, Dan, Asher, Naphtali. Verse 27, thus was the order of march of the children of Israel according to their armies when they began their journey. They obeyed the Lord in that detail. God had told them in Numbers chapter 2, this tribe goes first, this tribe goes next, this tribe goes next, then this tribe, all 12 tribes, including the Levites right around the tabernacle area. And they did it. Good. Excellent. Obeying the Lord, always a good idea, right? Even in what might be trivial matters that you think from your perspective, even what might be difficult matters, we as Christians are to obey the commands of the Lord, aren't we? In fact, I remind you what Jesus said in John chapter 14 to disciples. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. You know, a lot of people say they love Jesus. And that's great. But do you love Jesus enough to obey him? You know, the Bible equates love with obedience. If I really love him, then I'll obey him. Well, these guys start off obeying him, even in the processional march. Now check out what happens in verse 29. I find this passage interesting. It says, now Moses said to Hobab. Fun name to say. Hobab. Now Moses said to Hobab, the son of Reuel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we're setting out for the place of which the Lord said, I will give it to you. Come with us, and we will treat you well, for the Lord has promised good things to Israel. And he said to him, I will not go, but I will depart to my own land and to my relatives. So Moses said, please do not leave, inasmuch as you know how we are to camp in the wilderness, and you can be our eyes. And it shall be, if you go with us, indeed it shall be, that whatever good the Lord will do to us, the same we will do to you. Now, guys, here's an example of Moses, the man of God, trying to persuade another person to go with them on the journey to the promised land. I like that. Hey, we're going to the promised land. Join in. Are you like that with other people? Do you talk to other people and say, hey, I'm on the road that leads to heaven. It's going to end up in blessing. Want to come? Come with me. Join up. Give your heart to Christ. Let's go. I'll walk with you. Well, it seems that that's what Moses is doing with this guy named Hobab. Now, when Moses left Egypt originally, when he was a young man, you remember he got thrown out of Egypt. And he went out into the desert and he ended up staying at the house of a priest in Midian, Midianite priest. And he ended up marrying one of his seven daughters, Zipporah. Well, this Midianite father-in-law of him, Reuel, also known as Jethro, had visited the camp before. Well, here we find out that his son, Moses' brother-in-law, is with him as well. He's staying at the camp. He's been with him at the camp. He's a Midianite. He's not a Jew. And so now it's time to go. They're getting ready to go. They've started to leave. And he says, Hobab, go with us. And Hobab says, well, no, I want to go back to my other country. I'm going to go back home. And Moses says, no, really, come with us. And it would appear that he convinced him. And I think there was a practical reason for that. Look at verse 31. He says to Hobab, please do not leave, inasmuch as you know how we are to camp in the wilderness. And you can be our eyes. Apparently, Hobab was one of those expert outdoorsmen. Ever met one of them? They know everything about the outdoors. He was an expert camper. Apparently, Hobab knew the terrain of the wilderness. He knew exactly where they were going. He had studied parts of it, familiar with it. And Moses tells Hobab, don't leave me. Come with me. Does that seem odd to any of you? Wasn't God supposed to lead Moses? God was. But listen, even though God leads us, there are also times where He'll choose to use another human being to help lead you. God would show them where to camp. Hobab would know how to camp. And Moses wanted him for that expertise. And I have found that so many times to be true. God leads us in very spectacular, miraculous ways many times. But there's other times where He leads us through the counsel of other people that He brings into our life. Our brothers and our sisters in Christ. You know, I know God has led us to this place, for example. Never in my wildest dreams did I ever conceive of a day when I would be involved in a project where a cotton gin becomes a sanctuary. Never in my wildest dreams. People have seen me use a hammer and nail and they laugh at me. I'm not the handyman. I try to be, I'd like to be, but maybe with more practice, and we're about to get a lot of practice. But I'll tell you what, I'm so glad for the experts that God has brought into this fellowship. People with expert advice. I've been talking for the last 2 days with the guys who are going to wire that place for sound. Woo, do we got something coming. It's going to be beautiful. They pointed out things that I never thought about. Man, I got to change the plans. We need that type of advice. We need that counsel. We need that expertise. God will use that. But you know, I also think the reason Moses wanted Hobab to go was he also wanted Hobab to benefit with them. Hey, it's almost like he said, hey, God's blessing is on us. We're going to the promised land. You can partake. Come with us. It's going to be great. And that's a great example for us as being witnesses for Christ. That's what you want to do. You know the gospel means good news, right? So when you share the gospel, you do it like this. Can you smile a little? It's good news. What if there was this spectacular event that's going to take place in El Paso, Texas, free to the public? It's going to be the coolest thing that ever hit El Paso. Would you sit on that news? You'd tell everybody, wouldn't you? This is what I see Moses doing. Check it out. The blessing of God is going to be upon us. Come to the promised land. Heaven is going to be awesome, my friend. You want others to go with you? Plead with them. Urge them. Let's close it up tonight. Verse 33. And apparently he did persuade Hobab. Hobab's going. Verse 33. So they departed from the mountain of the Lord on a journey of 3 days, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord went before them for 3 days' journey to search out a resting place for them. And the cloud of the Lord was above them by day when they went out from the camp. Now check out this extra bit of information. So it was, whenever the ark set out, that Moses said, this is like a formal announcement that he would make, rise up, O Lord, let your enemies be scattered, and let those who hate you flee before you. And when it rested, he said, return, O Lord, to the many thousands of Israel. Isn't that beautiful? So here's what would happen. They'd be camped. The cloud would begin to lift. The priests would take those silver trumpets. Blow. That was a lame trumpet blast. I'm sorry. But you get the picture, right? They'd blow the trumpet. And then apparently Moses would stand up, and this would be a formal proclamation. Rise up, O Lord, let your enemies be scattered, and let those who hate you flee before you. In other words, Moses would say, all right, you're up, we're going, we're following. Clear the path, God. Clear the path. Take care of the enemies. Wipe them out. It's dangerous out there without your help, your protection. God, go with us. Give us your grace. Give us your favor. Let's go forward. Isn't that beautiful? Maybe there's something that the Lord wants you to step out in. There's a venture of faith. There's a new direction. There's something that he wants to do through you, and it's new, and it can be exciting, and you're about to move, and you're about to go. Let this be your prayer. Lord, rise up, do it, clear the path, take care of the enemies. And then, when the cloud stopped, they'd take down the tabernacle, they'd take down the tent, they'd put it all together, everyone would camp, and Moses would come along, and he would say, return, O Lord, to the many thousands of Israel. In other words, we've camped, you've stopped, we're here. Be with us, Lord. Be with us. Great prayers. Maybe you're here tonight and you're in that holding pattern. You're camped. Maybe you're a little bummed out being camped. Maybe you even feel like you're in a rut. Pray this prayer. Lord, just be with me. Lord, I just want to thank you tonight for your presence with me. Guys, these are great prayers that we could pray every morning. When you pray, get up every morning. Rise up, O Lord. I'm going into this day. Let your enemies be scattered and let those who hate you flee before you. That's neat, huh? Clear the path. And then at night, right before you go to bed, return, O Lord. Be with me as I sleep tonight. The Lord wants to guide us. He will guide us. Follow those principles that we spoke of tonight. And don't forget to be a man or woman of faith. And don't forget that you need to be obeying the commands of Christ, even what might appear trivial to you. And pray prayers like this. Lord, clear the path. Maybe you're here tonight and the concept that God would lead you individually, personally, is so foreign to you. God really cares about me? You think? Really? Yeah, He really does. But here's the deal. You can't have guidance from the Lord until you have a relationship with Him. See, guidance is only for family members. And you have to be one who has at one point in your life asked Christ to come into your heart, to admit that you have sinned and that you need to be forgiven of all your sins. God sent Jesus to save us from our sins. And He died on the cross in our place. We've all failed. We've all blown it. And all you got to do really is admit it. Lord, I need help. Thank you for dying for me. I accept the gift. Come into my heart. Fix the mess I've made of my life. You lead me. I've led my life too long and I've made a mess of it. God will do a much better job of leading your life than you can. And I would encourage you tonight, if you're in that situation, just like Moses encouraged Hobab, come along. There's a group headed to heaven. Are you a member? Are you a brother? Are you a sister? Are you one who's accepted Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior? I want to give us an opportunity to do that tonight. Daniel and Sarah, why don't you come on up? And let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. It is an amazing thing to read about how God wants to direct a person's life totally and completely. And I just want to extend an invitation tonight to anybody in this room. I want to get serious with the Lord tonight. That would be your heart. I want to give my heart to Jesus tonight. I want to become a member of the family of God tonight. And I want to do it right now. And if that's you, I want you to show that. I want you to indicate that to me in a public way. I want you to raise up your hand. You just raise up your hand right here, right now. One of two things for you. You either want to give your heart to Christ right now for the first time, or right now you want to get back with the Lord and do business and follow Him. Raise up your hand high. God bless you in the back right there. Anybody else? You're among friendlies tonight. We love you. And we would be thrilled to see you come into the family of God right now, or if you've strayed from the Lord, come back right now. Don't miss out in the blessings of the Lord. I'm going to give you just a couple more moments. It's important that you raise your hand. It cements the deal for you. It makes it really stick. Raise up your hand. Hi. Will anybody join the sister who did it here just earlier? One more moment. I believe the Lord is speaking to hearts right now. Father, I want to thank you for our sister who has raised her hand, and I pray that this night would prove to be a turning point in her life that she will look back on for all of eternity and praise you for. Thank you, Lord, that you take lives and change them. Thank you that you want to lead us. And so I pray that you would bless our sister right now, that you would cement this decision in her heart, that you would take her by the hand and walk with her and lead her. And Lord, for all of us remaining, we do want to be those who serve you. We want to be those who follow you. We do want to be led by you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing a closing song.